by the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine, and the sun will rise and shine.
Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen, wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidil Mursaleen. Amma baad, a'udhu billahi minashaitan rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Rasulallah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Habiballah. As-salatu was-salamu alayki ya Nabiyallah, wa ala alika wa sahabiki ya Nurallah. MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, welcome to Arise and Shine, our early morning program. And again, every day is a beautiful day. So today is again another beautiful day. And the reason why we say that every day is a beautiful day, because every day is a day, it is a blessing from Allah Azza wa Jal. You know, it may be raining, you may be thinking it's been raining every day, but this is a blessing. It may be good weather where you are, and you think we've had good weather every day, but this again is a blessing. So whatever day Allah Azza wa Jal gives us is a blessing. Whatever weather Allah Azza wa Jal gives us is a blessing. So if we accept this, then inshallah we'll realize the countless blessings that are bestowed upon us. There are probably people around the world, millions of people around the world, are wishing that they had the day that you are about to have today, inshallah. So viewers of the channel, as you know, when you watch Arise and Shine, we always give you a blessing of reciting Durood e Pak upon the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam. And today's blessing is such that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu ta'ala wa sallam, is reported to have said that whoever recites Durood e Pak upon me, his durood, his salawat reaches me. Allahu Akbar. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam goes on to say that I make dua of forgiveness for him. And other than this, 10 good deeds are written for him. Allahu Akbar. So your salawat that you recite upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will get to him. He will receive this. Not only this, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam will make dua for you. Allahu Akbar. And 10 good deeds will be written in your name. MashaAllah. Viewers of Mother Channel, as you know, I make a claim every day, and I'm going to stand by that claim until someone can prove me differently, but I don't think anybody can possibly prove me otherwise, that the next package that we have, the first package that we have, in fact, is the best package that you can have on any program on Mother Channel, and that is the opportunity, the blessings, the fortunate ability of us to listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. Let's listen to some verses of the Holy Quran with the translation. صلوا على الحبيب صلى الله تعالى على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم
میں اللہ تعالی کی پناہ میں آتا ہوں شیطان مردود سے
بسم اللہ الرحمن الرحیم
اللہ کے نام سے شروع جو نہایت مہربان رحم والا
فأقم وجهك للدين حنيفا
تو اپنا منہ سیدھا کرو اللہ کی اطاعت کے لیے ایک اکیلے اسی کے ہو کر
فطرت اللہ التي فطر الناس علیہا لا تبدیل لخلق اللہ
اللہ کی ڈالی ہوئی بنا جس پر لوگوں کو پیدا کیا اللہ کی بنائی چیز نہ بدلنا
ذالک الدین القیم ولیکن اکثر الناس لا یعلمون
یہی سیدھا دین ہے مگر بہت لوگ نہیں جانتے
منیبین الیہ واتقوہ واقیموا الصلاة ولا تکونوا من المشرکین
اس کی طرف رجوع لاتے ہوئے اور اس سے ڈرو اور نماز قائم رکھو اور مشرکوں سے نہ ہو
من الذین فرقوا دینہم وکانوا شیعا کل حزب بما لدیہم فرحون
ان میں سے جنہوں نے اپنے دین کو ٹکڑے ٹکڑے کر دیا اور ہو گئے گروہ گروہ ہر گروہ جو اس کے پاس ہے اس پر خوش ہے
وَإِذَا مَسَّ النَّاسَ ضُرٌّ دَعُوا رَبَّهُمْ مُنِيبِينَ إِلَيْهِ ثُمَّ إِذَا أَذَاقَهُمْ
اور جب لوگوں کو تکلیف پہنچتی ہے تو اپنے رب کو پکارتے ہیں اس کی طرف رجوع لاتے ہوئے پھر جب وہ انہیں اپنے پاس سے رحمت کا مزہ دیتا ہے جب ہی ان میں سے ایک گروہ اپنے رب کا شریک ٹھہرانے لگتا ہے۔
لِيَكْفُرُوا بِمَا آتَيْنَاهُمْ فَتَمَتَّعُوا فَسَوْفَ تَعْلَمُونَ
کہ ہمارے دیے کی ناشکری کریں تو برت لو، اب قریب جاننا چاہتے ہو۔
أَمْ أَنزَلْنَا عَلَيْهِمْ سُلْطَانًا فَهُوَ يَتَكَلَّمُ بِمَا كَانُوا بِهِ يُشْرِكُونَ
یا ہم نے ان پر کوئی سند اتاری کہ وہ انہیں ہمارے شریک بتا رہی ہے۔
وَإِذَا أَذَقْنَا النَّاسَ رَحْمَةً فَرِحُوا بِهَا
اور جب ہم لوگوں کو رحمت کا مزہ دیتے ہیں اس پر خوش ہو جاتے ہیں۔
وَإِن تُصِبْهُمْ سَيِّئَةٌ بِمَا قَدَّمَتْ أَيْدِيهِمْ إِذَا هُمْ يَقْنَطُونَ
اور اگر انہیں کوئی برائی پہنچے بدلہ اس کا جو ان کے ہاتھوں نے بھیجا جبھی وہ نا امید ہو جاتے ہیں۔
أَوَلَمْ يَرَوْا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يَبْسُطُ الرِّزْقَ لِمَن يَشَاءُ وَيَقْدِرُ
اور کیا انہوں نے نہ دیکھا کہ اللہ رزق وسیع فرماتا ہے جس کے لیے چاہے اور تنگی فرماتا ہے جس کے لیے چاہے۔
اِنَّ فِي ذَلِكَ لَآيَاتٍ لِقَوْمٍ يُؤْمِنُونَ
بے شک اس میں نشانیاں ہیں ایمان والوں کے لیے۔
فَآتِ ذَا الْقُرْبَى حَقَّهُ وَالْمِسْكِينَ وَابْنَ السَّبِيلِ ذَلِكَ خَيْرٌ لِّلَّذِينَ يُرِيدُونَ وَجْهَ اللَّهِ وَأُولَئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ
تو رشتے دار کو اس کا حق دو اور مسکین اور مسافر کو، یہ بہتر ہے ان کے لیے جو اللہ کی رضا چاہتے ہیں اور انہی کا کام بنا۔
صدق اللہ العظیم۔
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم۔ ماشاءاللہ viewers of Madhya Channel, we had the blessing there of listening to some verses of the Holy Quran, and we should make this part of our daily routine if we can listen to them. Better still if we can read a few verses of the Holy Quran. Better still if we can sit down as a family and read the Quran together, read the translation and if possible the commentary together, and get to know what our Creator wants from us, what our Creator wants to do. And so set some time aside to read the Quran on a daily basis. Amir Lasun, the founder of Dawat Islam, in his Pious Deed booklets, he requests us to read at least 3 verses of the Holy Quran every day with translation and commentary. And how long is that going to take? 7 minutes, 8 minutes, 10 minutes. So please set aside some time today, every day, to do this on a daily basis. Viewers of the channel, you're watching Arise and Shine. And today we're talking about speaking the truth, how important it is to speak the truth. And it's a fundamental thing when you are interacting with people. If you want to have a successful community, a successful society, then it can only be fruitful if it's based on truth. When any relationship between yourself and your boss, your fellow students, student, teacher, husband, wife, parents, children, relatives, all of these, if you are not speaking the truth, then these relationships, they will not last long. They'll start to fall apart. The cracks will start to appear. So it's very, very important that every aspect of our life, we do our utmost best to speak the truth. And this is what our deen teaches us. This is what the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is. The hadiths are there. The Quranic ayats are there. That teaches how to speak the truth. And I'm going to give you a parable, an event that took place, just to give you an idea of how important it is to speak the truth. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he was traveling with his friends and he stopped at a place and he spread the tablecloth out to eat. Meanwhile, a shepherd, someone who obviously looks after goats and sheep, was going past. And Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he invited him, said, come and eat with us. And this person said, I'm fasting. And it was a hot day and he was out in the plains. There's no shade to him. And he said to you know, are you voluntary fasting on a day like this? You know, when the heat is out and there's no real shade for you. And he said, I'm making up for the past days of my life. So he said to him that, you know, he wanted to test his piety then, because he realized that this person seemed to be a pious person. He said to him, will you sell us one of your goats? Yeah, we want to buy one of your goats off you so that we can kill it here, sacrifice it here, eat it and cook it. Cook it and eat it. And the shepherd said, no, I can't do this because I'm a slave and these goats are owned by my master. So Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, to test him further, he said, well, why don't you say to him that a wolf ate it? You know, if these things happened, that your herd is attacked by wolves, wolves attacked and they dragged away one of the sheep and they ate it, and that's why there's one sheep left. And the shepherd said that, but Allah is watching. Allah is watching. And He knows the truth, and He will hold me accountable for this on the day of judgment. Sayyidina Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu anhu, he realized that this was an honest, truthful, pious person. And so when he returned to Medina, he freed the slave and bought all the goats of the owner and gave all the goats to the now freed slave. And this is just one instance that we hear. And I remember, you know, I think last year sometime, maybe some of our viewers saw it, that again on social media, there was a similar post where someone was driving through the desert and the person there was a shepherd. And, you know, they asked him, are these sheep yours? And he said, no. Would you sell me one? No, I can't. You know, why? Because my owner has them. Well, just say that, you know, one of them died, one of them fell, one of this. And they said, no, but Allah is watching. And this mindset that we need to develop inside ourselves, that I can lie to you, you can lie to me. I can make a fool out of you, you can make a fool out of me. You can convince the whole world that you are right when you're wrong. You can convince the whole world that you're wrong when you're right. Allah is watching you. Allah is hearing, knowing, seeing, and He knows the state of your heart. He knows. When you open His mouth, He knows that He lies. And the other thing that we need to be aware of is that once you become a liar, or once you lie, you become known as a liar. And when you become known as a liar, then people will not believe you. Even if you are speaking the truth, they will not believe you. And I remember, you know, someone saying about a certain individual that, you know, that person, he lies a lot. How do you know when he's lying or when he opens his mouth? Meaning he lies all the time. And maybe, obviously, he doesn't lie all the time, but then you get labeled with that. And so nobody will trust you. Nobody will, you know, come to you for advice. Nobody will trust you with anything because they know that you are a liar, even though you may have only lied that one time or that two times. But once you're caught out, you're a known liar. So it's very, very important, viewers of the channel, that if we want a successful society, we want a successful household, we want a successful family, we want a successful relationship with our colleagues, with our teachers, with our students, with our families, with our spouses, with our children, with our relatives, we always must maintain the truth. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small day. We're going to go to a break now. We're going to go to the Kalam of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with this topic. Let's go to the Kalam of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Firaqe Madina mein dil gham zada hai, jigar tukde tukde hua ja. کوئی گلہ ہے سے چھینا طیبہ کا منظر میری آنکھ سے چھینا طیبہ کا منظر یہ کس بات کا تو نے بدلا لیا ہے یہ کس بات کا تو نے بدلا لیا ہے رہوں بس اسی غم میں بے چین سرور فرقت دیا ہے مقدر سے جس جا رہوں پر شغا ہو مقدر سے جس جا رہوں پر شغا ہو نظر سب سکون لٹ گیا ہے میرے دل کے ارماں رہے دل ہی دل میں میرے دل کے ارماں رہے دل تڑپا رہا ہے یہی غم میرے دل کو تڑپا رہا ہے نہ دنیا کی فکریں نہ غم تھا وہاں پر یہاں آفتوں میں گھرا ہے پہاڑوں کی دلکش قطاروں کے جلوے وہ منظر مجھے آج یاد آ رہا ہے انہیں چومنا یاد آ رہا ہے وہ منظر مجھے آج یاد آ رہا ہے عقیدت سے خاک مدینہ اٹھا کر اسے چومنا آج یاد آ رہا ہے کبھی دید سرور کی حسرت میں منبر کو تکنا وہ چھپ چھپ کے چھپ یاد آ رہا ہے کبھی دے آج یاد آ رہا ہے جھکانا نظر آج یاد آ رہا ہے نہ چھوٹے میرے ہاتھ سے ان کا دامن جب تلک یا خدا یہ دعا ہے مہکتی ہے پیاری وہ جنت کی کیاری وہاں بیٹھنا آج یاد آ رہا ہے بچھڑ کر عبید سے بچھڑ کر عبید رضا ان کے در سے پریشان ہے خوار ہے غم زدہ ہے پریشان ہے خار ہے غم زدہ ہے فراق مدینہ میں دل غم زدہ ہے جگر ٹکڑے ٹکڑے ہوا جا رہا ہے
صلو علی الحبیب صلی اللہ تعالی علی محمد صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم. Hi, a beautiful kalam there. But the thirst that we need to have inside ourselves to go to the city, the blessed city of Medina. And what a beautiful kalam it is. And it talks about the lovers of the Prophet of Allah صلی اللہ علیہ وسلم, how they would go to the city of Medina. And now we need to have that inside ourselves, that thirst inside ourselves to go and visit the city of Medina. And without a doubt, fortunate are those people that Allah blesses them with the opportunity of going to Medina. But as I said before, these kalams, these naats, all of them are there to instill, ultimately, the love of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in our hearts. We love Medina. Why? Because that is where the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam has been. Everywhere, anything that has a connection with the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we love it because of its connection to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So I pray and I ask you to pray that all the Muslims around the world, if you've been before, then may Allah azza wa jalla bless all of you to visit the sacred lands again. And I pray for all those people around the world that have not visited, may Allah azza wa jalla enable them to visit the sacred lands, not once, not twice, but as many times as possible. Hi, it's hard to get back to the topic now, isn't it? Viewers on the channel, we're talking about speaking the truth and how important it is to speak the truth. And before the break, we give you a parable of an event that took place where a shepherd was offered to sell his goat, but he refused. And when the person that was trying to buy it off him said to him that, you know, nobody will know, nobody will know. And he said that Allah will know, and Allah will hold me accountable for this on the day of judgment. And what really held him accountable for? For lying. And so we learn from this narration and similar narrations that the pious people of Allah, those pious people of Allah, they would always, always, always speak the truth. That is a fundamental sign of piety, is speaking the truth. That if there is such a thing as a line in the sand, if there is such a thing and there isn't, that if I go past that line, I can be considered pious, and before that line, I'm not. Then one of the things that you must achieve to be able to pass that line is to speak the truth. Those people that speak the truth, they don't go against Sharia. Those people that speak the truth, they follow the rules of Islam. Those people that speak the truth, they are adorned with knowledge and good deeds. They become an example of piety. They become an example of abstinence. They possess a neat and clean character. People look up to them because of the truthfulness. They do not fear the creation, but they fear Allah. And again, that's something that You need to be aware of that. Do we fear Allah? And these people that speak the truth, they fear Allah because they're afraid that I can speak, I can lie, and they'll never find out. But Allah knows. So those people that speak the truth, they have this fear of Allah inside them because they know that they can get away with a lie anywhere, but they can't get away with it in the court of Allah Azza wa Jalla. And these sort of people that speak the truth, that live the life, if you look at the lives of these truthful people, they perform actions only to please Allah. And they do not look at the world, but rather they look at the creator of the world. And I hope and pray for you as a mujahid that we gain the ability to follow in the footsteps of these pious people and have this fear of Allah Azza wa Jalla in our hearts. And I also hope and pray that we perform the actions needed to please our Rabb. You know, we're talking about truth today. And that there is no doubt that Allah Azza wa Jalla has granted us many, many blessings. And from these, one of the great blessings that Allah Azza wa Jalla has bestowed upon us is the tongue. It is the tongue. It is through this tongue that if we declare iman, we do the declaration of faith, we do the shahada, that insha'Allah Azza wa Jalla, we will enter into paradise. If we speak the truth, if we do it from the heart and speak that truthfully, then inshallah, paradise is us. And paradise will become compulsory for us. But it is this tongue, but it's also this tongue that can also cause our destruction. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam reported to have said that the majority of sins have been performed by humans are from the tongue. The majority of the sins that we perform are from the tongue. And if you think about it, what are those sins? Lying, backbiting, swearing, gossiping, slandering. All of these sins, how are they committed? By the tongue. And the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that if you can guarantee this in your private parts, then paradise will be for you. So controlling the tongue is very, very important. And you know, there's a saying in English, you know, put your brain into gear before, you know, don't speak until you put your brain into gear. I mean, think before you speak. But we don't. And because if we don't think before we speak, then what happens is we start telling lies, or because we're part of a crowd, and in that crowd, people are telling jokes, people are telling stories, and we want to be part of that, you know, that environment. Then what happens is, the result of that, what happens is we'll start telling a story and we'll exaggerate within that story. We'll tell a lie within that story to try and make it interesting. We'll tell a lie just to make people laugh. So we think that we're achieving something, that, oh, I've got people to listen to my story, I've got people to laugh at my story. I've achieved something, but as a result of that, you've been lying. So we need to make sure that we refrain from that and we stay away from those sittings, that environment where people are telling lies. And there's a saying of the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he said, if you are sitting in a gathering, and in that gathering, you don't remember Allah, you don't send durood pak upon the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, then that gathering will become a ruin for you. And it is up to Allah azza wa jalla whether Allah azza wa jalla punishes you as a result of that gathering, or Allah azza wa jalla forgives you. So these gatherings were, unfortunately, we start to tell the truth, we start to tell lies, can become a means of destruction for us. And we know it. We know that when you're sitting in a gathering, you start backbiting, you start lying, you start swearing, you start cheating, and you know this is happening. So we need to be aware of our surroundings as well. Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, rahmatullah ta'ala, states that just like a date tree starts off as a twig, such a twig which is very weak, that if a child pulls it out from the ground or a goat eats it, then its root is not finished. The twig is then continuously watered, due to which it grows and nourishes until a strong foundation is established. Then the twig that was once very weak now gives shade and also fruit. Similarly, he says, truth is weak inside the heart initially. A person protects and looks after it, refrains from lying, and enables truth to prosper and flourish. Due to this protection, Allah Azza wa Jalla grants such strength and showers blessings upon the person speaking the truth. Then due to speaking the truth and protecting truth, a person reaches a stage that his speech becomes medicine for those who commit sin and are immersed in transgression. After this, Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar rahmatullah asked, have you ever seen such people who attain such a status? He then addressed himself and he said, yes, why not? An oath on Allah, I have seen such people, and they are Sayyidina Hassan Basri rahmatullah ta'ala, Sayyidina Sa'id bin Jubair rahmatullah ta'ala, and other fortunate people like them. They are those people Through his speech, Allah Azza wa Jalla gave life to thousands of people. In other words, by listening to their speech, thousands of people have left the path of evil and become travelers of the path of righteousness due to the mercy of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Now that might seem like a big statement, but look around you. And one of the best examples we've got is Amir al-Sunnat, the founder of Dawat Islam. May Allah Azza wa Jalla keep his shadow upon us. People come to him. People bring their children to him. People that have committed all sorts of sins have come to him. And when he says to them, give up the sin and start feeding Allah. Give up the sin and start praying 5 times a day. They do this. And yet before that, the parents have said to that child so many times, society said to that child so many times, so many people have said to that person so many times, give this up, stop doing it, stop doing it. They don't listen. But when a truthful person speaks, it has this impact on people's life. And then you look at Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah, the Ghaus-e-Pak, and he said that I've never, ever, ever said a lie, spoken a lie all my life. And he went on to say, he mentioned the example, not the example, the story of his life, that when he was a young person, and when he was in his village of Jilan, and he decided to make the journey to Baghdad to acquire the knowledge of the deen, his mother, you know, we hear the famous story that she saw the 40 gold dinars in his jacket and then said to him that, my son, that no matter what happens to you, never ever speak a lie, always speak the truth. And the famous story that the caravan of people that were there, they were attacked by the robbers, and the robbers searched him, couldn't find the gold, searched him a second time, couldn't find the gold, then took him to the chief of the robbers. And when the robber asked him, where is the gold? And he picked and he gave them the gold. And he was asked that, you know, why did you tell us the truth? You could have lied and, you know, you need this money. And Sayyidina Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullah Ta'ala, he said that my mother told me, always speak the truth. And that story doesn't finish there. The story doesn't finish there because what happened was, as a result of Ghaus-e-Pak saying that, they all trembled. They all changed. They all repented from the error of the ways, the chief of the robbers and all of the robbers. But how did this happen? What did Ghaus-e-Pak say to them that made them repent? He just said, my mother said, don't lie. But the thing is, a truthful person was speaking. And when a truthful person speaks, he has that impact. You know, those of us that are, you know, actively within the work of Dawat Islam, and if we are not being successful, people are not coming towards us, you know, our gatherings are not increasing, the people are not coming towards Dawat Islam, then we need to look at ourselves. And one of the things that we need to look at ourselves is, are we lying? Are we living a life of lying to people? And if we are lying to people, then how can we be successful? How can we be successful not only in the works of the Dawah, but in our life generally? And we see that a person who speaks the truth and continuously speaks the truth and always speaks the truth, he, inshaAllah, Azza wa Jal, will be successful. And like that, Sayyidina Malik bin Dinar, he said that when a truthful person speaks, he changes people. When a truthful person speaks, he changes people's hearts, and we see it. Like I said, with Amir al-Sunnat, with Ghaus-e-Pak, the example that was given there. And you see those people, that when they speak, people will be attracted to them automatically. They might not be the most eloquent speakers. They might not be the most beautiful speakers. They might not have, you know, the beautiful qiraat or whatever. But because they speak the truth and they are honest people, people will come to them. Because in society today, truthful, honest people are a rare commodity, unfortunately. And so when a person is truthful, when a person is honest, people are automatically attracted to them. So we need to ask ourselves, that why are people not being attracted to me? Why am I not being successful in this? Why am I not successful in my business? Why am I not successful in whatever field it is, whether it's being a mubalik of Dawat Islamiyah, whether it's being a businessman? Why am I not successful in my family? Why am I having family issues? Why have I got issues with my spouse? Why have I got issues with my family, with my relatives, with all these things? Why have I got issues with my business? Because I'm not speaking the truth. And that is a fundamental thing that we need to have inside our lives. Always, always, always speak the truth. And I remember my blessed father, when I was young, I remember maybe even 4 or 5 years of age, and I didn't understand it at the time. And he said to me, son, you know, never tell a lie, because liars don't have any feet. I remember I was only maybe 4 or 5. I'm looking around to see people without feet. And I'm thinking, I've not seen anybody that hasn't got feet. That means everybody's honest. But later on, when one day I asked him, he said, no, son, what it means is that when someone lies, they're eventually going to get caught. They can't run forever. Your lie will eventually get caught. And this, again, is a fact that you will eventually get caught. Now, you may say, oh, there's people that have lied all their life and they never got caught. But they have got caught. They have got caught. You just don't realize it. Shall I tell you when they got caught? When they enter that dark and lonely grave. They will get caught then. So you can, you know, run all your life. You can run all your life, but eventually you will get caught. You'll either get caught in this dunya where people become aware of your lies, or and you get caught in the afterlife where Allah Azza wa Jalla is definitely aware of you. Viewers of Inshallah, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the reminder of the day, inshallah. When we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
In our lives, we receive many words of encouragement, sometimes from our parents, sometimes from our teachers, sometimes from our colleagues, friends, relatives, siblings. Everybody can possibly give good advice. But remember, the advice, and the encouragement, the instruction given by the Prophet ﷺ is the best advice, the best form of guidance. Khairul hadi, hadi Muhammad ﷺ. The best form of guidance is the guidance provided by the Prophet ﷺ. And what did the Prophet ﷺ instruct us to do? There are many narrations, of course, but in one narration, which is found in the Musannaf of Ibn Abi Shaybah, the Prophet ﷺ said, build masajid. Construct masajid. But the thing is, how many of us are busy in this activity? We're building our own houses, having extensions done, a new floor, spacious house. We make plans for this, we save up for this, we spend a lot of days and nights thinking about this. But what about this emphatic command of the Prophet ﷺ, build masajid? How many of us are actually acting upon this? And we pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He gives us tawfiq to do so. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, beautiful reminder there by Hafiz Kaleem Madri, one of our graduates from Jamatul Madina here in the UK. And I know it's slightly aside from the topic, but you know, alhamdulillah, he's one of our graduates from Jamatul Madina here in the UK. And here in the UK, we have Jamatul Madinas up and down the country. What is a Jamatul Madina? A Jamatul Madina is that institute we were creating the future scholars, inshallah, the English-speaking scholars of the country. We have these for the brothers, for the sisters, full-time and for part-time. So try and find out about them. Where people have job interviews, and on the CVs, and they feel compelled to lie to get that job, to be able to get through that promotion or whatever it is, and they lie for that. And for that little bit of success in this world, people lie. And what they don't realize is that that little bit of success that they have in this world as a result of lying will cost them on the day of judgment. A lot of people feel that unless you lie, you can't be successful. That if you're running a business, how can you be an honest trader? How can you not lie and be a businessman? How can you not lie and do these things? But you can, and you should be an honest, you know, trader. I remember someone that used to repair damaged cars, and he used to buy damaged cars, and the parts that he used to take off, the doors, the bonnets, the wings, the lights, whatever it was that were damaged or broken, he'd take them off and he'd put them up to one side. And he'd repair the car. And when the person came, when he'd sell the car, when the person came to buy the car, he would say to them, that was the damage. Then were the parts that I've taken off. And as you can see, I've replaced them with these parts. And this is what's happened. And alhamdulillah, he never had a problem. Why? Because he was honest. He told people that this is what I took off the car. That's the door. That's the fender. That's the bumper. That's the lights. That's what it was like. So from that, you've got an idea of what damage it was caused. And I've now repaired it, and this is what it is. So they knew what they were getting. But nowadays, we hide that. And you know, people will sell second material or second quality goods or second quality things, or will hide the faults in things on purpose just to make that sale. So that honesty, that, you know, you might not call it lying, but it is, because people are expecting that you give them what they see. And when you don't get what you see, then you've lied to them. You've been dishonest with them. So it's very important that we are honest people. We live our lives according to this. And I think I've said it before on Madani Channel that if you look at the history of Islam, how did Islam spread? You know, yes, the battles took place. Yes, the expeditions went where people went to spread Islam and, you know, purely went with that intention. But there was also a lot of Islam that spread as a result of traders. Where traders went to trade in different lands, in far and off lands, and when people saw them, saw that they were honest traders, they were people that always spoke the truth, they became attracted to them, they became attracted to their beliefs, they attracted to the teachers, ultimately attracted to Islam, and they came into the fold of Islam. So this speaking the truth is something that's very, very important. And Allah Azza wa Jalla says in Surah Al-Maidah, verse 119, this Qiyamah is a day on which the truthful will benefit from their truthfulness. For them are gardens beneath which rivers flow, in which they will abide forever and ever. Allah is pleased with them, and they are pleased with Allah. This is the great success. Allahu Akbar. A summary of what the famous commentator of the Quran, Allama Ismail Haqqi, Rahmatullah Ta'ala, has wrote under this ayat, he says, truth will benefit the person speaking the truth on the day of judgment. Lies spoken in the world and ostentation will not be beneficial whatsoever on the day of judgment. Rather, they will be a cause of entrapment. He goes on to say, an intelligent person should try to walk on the path of truth. And finally, he says, adopting truth inclines a person towards good deeds. In another ayat of the Quran, Allah Azza wa Jalla says, and be with the truthful ones. Be with the truthful ones. And in another this ayat, in Tafsir Siratul Jinan, be in the company of those people who are truthful in faith, who are sincere and who affirm the Holy Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam sincerely. And so we need to ask ourselves that from the above ayat that I just mentioned to you in the commentary, it talks about what our company should be like. Who should we be in company with? And we should stay with those people who are pious, because these are the people that are truthful. We should adopt the company of the people who are virtuous. We should maintain a connection with those people who speak the truth. We should stay away from those people who refrain from lying, who try themselves to stop lying. We should be friends with those people who act upon the Sharia. We should be friends with those people who offer salah and keep fast with steadfastness. And we should be with those people who fear Allah. We should adopt the company of those people who are the devotees of Allah, or the devotees of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we should be with those people who love the companions, love the Ahlul Bayt, and love the awliya, the pious predecessors, that are close to them. Because then people that are close to them will be aware of the teachings and aware of their signs. So we need to make sure that we are close to them. We should adopt the company of those people who stay restless whilst they're pondering over the hereafter, they're thinking about the hereafter. So in basic terms, what I'm trying to say to you, viewers of the channel, look at those people. Look at those people who have fear of Allah in their hearts. Look at those people that would not sell something to you that is not theirs, I, the shepherd, in selling the goat. Would that person do this? You know, if that person was in that position, would he have sold me the goat? If he wasn't, that's not the kind of person that you want to be in company with. You know, they say, oh, this person, he would sell his mother, he'd sell his grandmother, he'd sell this, you know, he's that sort of a person. He doesn't care. They're another sort of people that we need to be in company with. People like, may incorrectly praise them, may say them, oh, the clever people, the sharp people, the this and this, but they know that they're dishonest people. So although they'll say they're clever, they're sharp, they can sell, you know, snow to the Eskimos, ice to the Eskimos, they can sell this, they can sell that through lying or whatever it is you want to say. If it's a result of lying, then that's not the company of the people that we want to keep. We don't want to be with these people. And so we need to ask ourselves, who are our company? And this again is a vast topic. Who are our friends? If our friends are those people that when we think about them, we remember, you know, the big cars that they have, the parties that they go to all of these things. Or are those people that we associate with, are they those people that when we look at them, we remember Allah Azza wa Jal? We remember the masjid. We remember our duties to Allah. We have the reminders of the fear of Allah that we need to have in our heart. The reminders of the love for the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam that we have in us. These are the people that we need to associate with. And without a doubt, these are the people that are pious. These are the people that are honest. These are the people that are truthful. And if you are associating yourselves with people that are not pious, not honest, not truthful, then you will become like them. You will not be pious. You will not be honest. You will not be truthful. And this road, you know, like I've said it before, that when you're on a road, you can see where you're going. This road is taking me there. This road is taking me there. This road of honesty, this road of truthfulness, this road of piety, without a doubt, inshallah, Azza wa Jalla is taking us to paradise. But if we live a life of not being pious or not trying to be pious, committing sins, not being honest, not being truthful, then where is this going to take us? We know. We know it's going to take us to punishment, to the hellfire, to that dark and lonely grave where we are going to be punished, to the bridge of Sirat that we're going to struggle, we will not be able to cross, we'll struggle to cross it, to the day of judgment where nobody will give us one good deed, to the hellfire. And if we understand the significance of the hellfire, you know, the examples that we have been given, our pious predecessor said, and at this moment in time, we are told that there are more than 7 billion people on this planet. 7 billion. In try and write it now, it's a big number. And he said that if you were to gather all of the pain, all of the agonies, all of the difficulties that they are facing, all the suffering that they're facing, the hardship they are facing, and put it in one person, the pain and the suffering that one person would feel would be less than the lightest punishment in the hellfire. This is the route that's taking us. If we're living this route, then this will take us to that route. Viewers of the channel, we're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the hadith of the day, inshallah. And when we come back, we're going to continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
A very wonderful hadith, subhanallah. The companion, the son of a companion, Sayyidina Abdullah ibn Abi Awfa radiallahu ta'ala anhu has stated, my father Abu Awfa visited the court of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam carrying the zakat. So the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam blessed him with this supplication. O Allah azza wa jal, send down mercy upon the family of Abu Awfa. Now, commenting on this hadith, Sayyidina Mufti Ahmad Yarkhan Naimi rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi stated, Sayyidina Abdullah is proudly paying gratitude to the Lord that we and our honorable father have been blessed with the supplication of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Some said that the word al here is extra, meaning family. But the truth is that family in its actual meaning is that the blessings are bestowed upon Abu Awfa and the family. The Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam does not pray for these people only, but also for their offspring and their family members. Subhanallah, getting a dua from the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. May we do such good deeds as well that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam grants us and our family members with a dua. Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa alihi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah.
Sallu ala al-Habib sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Monday channel, you're watching Rise and Shine, the early morning program. Alhamdulillah, like I said, it's a beautiful day. Every day is a beautiful day, alhamdulillah. Today we're talking about speaking the truth. Always speak the truth. And that is something that we need to put in our children from a young age, to speak the truth, to always speak the truth. We need to educate them. We not only need to educate them, we need to be practical examples of that. We need to show them that we are speaking the truth. Because children pick up on things they've got this antenna. They're looking at you. They're watching you. Because for a child, the parents is their role model. They'll copy the way you walk, they'll copy the way you talk, they'll copy the way you use your hands, they'll copy you every aspect of your life. And sometimes, you know, when you meet someone, you know, not just by the way they look, by the way they talk or the way they walk, you know, he's such a person's son. You know, he's got very similar characteristics to him. You know, he copies him. And in the same way, our actions, they copy. And so we need to be very careful not only for our own sake, not for our own sake. Obviously, for our own sake, we do need to make sure that we don't lie, but also for our children's sake, that we live our lives in such a way that they don't copy our sins. And, you know, people have said in the past that, you know, when a person is not married and he's in a bad way, he's got bad company, he's got bad habits, then when he gets married, there's a chance he might sort himself out. And someone once said that when someone gets a son, you know, there's a chance of him sorting himself out. When he gets a daughter, there's a greater chance of himself sorting himself out. If he doesn't get sorted himself out when he gets a daughter, he's never going to sort himself out. And so, you know, as that responsibility comes on you, you need to realize that now you have this responsibility. But what happens is, unfortunately, the examples that we create for our children are ones of lies. Someone will ring, yeah, and the phone's there, and instead of you picking it up, you give it to your son, and you'll say to them, you know, tell him I'm in the bathroom. Tell him I'm asleep. Tell him I'm in bed, yeah? And so the child picks up the phone and said, yeah, dad's busy. Well, he's in the bathroom. I think he's having a shower. Or dad's in bed. He's asleep. And yet your son knows he can see you in front of you. So what have you taught your son? That you've taught your son to lie. You've taught your son to lie. The other thing that happens is people ring you and you pick up the phone. Yeah, where are you? I'm in town centre. You sat at home. You sat at home and you're telling people you're in the town centre, you're in a different town, you're at work, you're at this. And in front of your whole family, you are lying on the phone to people. Because, you know, this mobile phone, there was a time where, you know, the phone was attached to a wire and it was attached to the wall. So when you picked it up and they said, where are you? You couldn't say anything. You know, I'm at work. Well, you're not at work. I'm ringing you home. You're at home. You couldn't lie. But now, because of this, people are lying even more. And you teach people to lie. You're teaching your children to lie. They're seeing you. They are watching you. They're monitoring you. So when you lie, then what do they think? My dad's doing it. My mom's doing it. What's wrong with that? You know, even our sisters, when they buy some new clothes or they buy something new, and you know how much they pay. Oh, they pay £20 for it, yeah? And you'll see the sisters go, oh, how much did that cost you? How much did that suit cost you? How much did them shoes cost you? Oh, they were very, very expensive. They cost me £75, them shoes. And your daughter's thinking, eh? Yeah, I'm sure they only cost £20. Right? And the child might even ask you, yeah, but how much did them shoes? They cost £20. And then the child, well, why is it like? Because we want to show off. We're showing off with this. Yeah? And people not only lie in that, people lie in their deeds as well. You know? I fasted the whole month. I read the Hajjah the whole month. I've been to this place. I've been to that place. I've been to that takeaway. I've been to that restaurant. I've been on holiday here. I've been on holiday there. And your family know that that's not the truth. They've seen it. They know. He's never been to that country. He's never been to that restaurant. He's never been to that place. And yet he's telling people he's been there several times. He's lying. Why is he lying? Because he wants to show off. So now you're teaching your children that to get forward in life, to move forward in life, you need to show off and lie. So these are the lessons that you're teaching your children. Now, from a young age, and this is where it gets hard, but it must be done, we need to teach our children to speak the truth and reward them for that. Reward them for speaking the truth. Make them, like I said, my father used to say to me from a young age, lies don't have any feet. Like, give them some sort of example that, look, beta, don't lie. Make sure you don't lie. Make sure you don't lie. You know, I don't like it when you lie. Allah will be unhappy with you. And then teach them these things. And then when something happens, and this is an example I've given many, many times on my channel, that children are playing, they've broken something, you go into the room, you ask them who broke it, and they're so scared, and he did it, I didn't do it, yeah? At that moment in time, you need to sit down with the children and say to the children, look, beta, you know, somebody's done it. You know, speak the truth. Don't worry, speak the truth. And then when the child builds up the courage to speak the truth and he said, you know, dad, I did it, mom, I did it. Then at that moment, then we need to restrain ourselves as well. Oh, right, he did it. Okay, I'll sort him out. No. Control your anger. Restrain yourself. And say to the child that, beta, be careful in the future. You shouldn't have done that. I'm not happy with you because you did that. But, and this is what you need to add. But today, beta, I'm also very happy with you. Why am I very happy with you? Because you spoke the truth. I'm that happy with you, beta, that inshallah tonight we'll go out and we'll get a takeaway. We'll get something, whatever it is. Yeah. And reward that child. Now what message have you given that child? Compared to the message where he's answering the phone for you, compared to the message where you're answering the phone, what message have you now given that child? You've given that child the message that speaking the truth is a good thing. And always give them that upbringing. Speak the truth, speak the truth, speak the truth. Yeah. And I remember that, you know, my parents and my uncles and my relatives, they used to ask me, where have you been? What have you done? And I was always scared. I was scared of not speaking the truth. Yeah. Because they put this fear inside me that we'll find out. Yeah. You know, we'll find out where you've been. We know where you've been. We'll find out. So that little bit of a fear factor was also beneficial for me, that it put that fear in me that, you know, if I lie, they're going to find out. So what's the point in lying? They'll find out. And when they find out, I'm in trouble. So I always spoke the truth. And because you're always speaking the truth, then because you know that you're going to be questioned about it, what happens is you start staying away from sins. The famous example where somebody said that, I will accept Islam. Yeah. They came to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam and said, I will accept Islam. I commit sins. And he said, I lie, I commit adultery, and I drink alcohol. But I'm only willing to give up one of them. Now, today, I just want to add, if someone was to come to you and say, I've got these three sins, I'm only willing to give up one, then we cannot accept that. If someone comes into Islam today, we have to say, you have to give up everything. But the wisdom, number one, and the authority, I know it's a slightly side topic, we need to understand that the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he had this authority. He had this authority to say, okay, give up lying. And so later on, when that person was offered alcohol, he thought to himself that if I drink alcohol, and if I'm questioned by anybody that, have you drunk alcohol today? If the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, asked me, have you drunk alcohol today? I can't say no, because I promised that I won't lie. So he gave up alcohol. When the opportunity came to commit adultery, again, the same thought terms came to mind, that if I'm ever asked, have you committed adultery? Are you still committing adultery? I can't lie. So he gave up adultery. So lying, you know, causes you to commit sins, but speaking the truth makes you stay away from sins. Admitting your mistakes, being truthful as well. You know, a person that is respected by society is a person that admits his mistakes by speaking the truth. What happens is sometimes people make mistakes. They've done something wrong. But what happens is that they don't want to admit it. No, he did this and he did that, and it's because of him. Not me. Just put your hand up and say, look, it's my fault. You know, I made a mistake. Now what? They're not going to shoot you. They're not going to shoot you, are you? So admit your mistakes. Be truthful. As human beings, we make mistakes. And then when you admit your mistakes in front of your colleagues, in front of your family, you'll be considered a truthful, honest person, and then they will feel comfortable. The biggest problem that people are facing today is that they do not know whether their relatives, their spouses, their children, their parents are speaking the truth or not. I don't know what to believe. So many times I've heard, I don't know what to believe about them. I don't know what to believe about my wife. I don't know what to believe about my parents. I don't know what to believe about my children. Why? Because they've been caught out in lies after lies after lies. But if that person spoke the truth all the time, then you're never going to say that. In fact, what will happen is you'll defend that person. No, he must be right. He must be right because he always speaks the truth. He will be right because he always speaks the truth. And this is something that you need to ask yourself, that where do I stand in all of this? And we've said it before, that if you want to look at what problems you are facing in your home, what problems you're facing with your partners, what problems you're facing in your workplace, what problems you're facing with your children, what problems you're facing with your life, look in the mirror in the morning and look at that person, and that will be the person, in most cases, that is the source of your problems. That will be the person. I am the source of my problem. Before you try and rectify other people, you know, the mission statement of Dawat Islami, the mission statement of Dawat Islami is that I must strive to rectify myself. Do that first. And continue to do that. Continue to do that. Yes, the second part. And strive to rectify the people of the whole world, inshallah, azza wa jal. But first and foremost, myself. I need to sort myself out. How can I sort myself out? How can people listen to me? How can I strive to rectify the people of the world if I'm going to continue to lie? And I've said it before, that us living in a non-Muslim majority country, each and every one of us is an ambassador of Islam. Each and every one of us represents Islam. You are not just Ali or Abdullah or Khalid or whatever you are. You are a Muslim. You are representing your deen. So in the same way that you are representing your children, that the way they look at you, they will be brought up in that same way. When it comes to you in society, people look to you. That how are you in society? How are you living your life? And if you are living your life of honesty, of truthfulness, people will come to you. But if they're not, then there's a reason. Sayyidina Imam Jafar, rahmatullahi ta'ala, he states, he said, do not adopt the company of five types of people. Five types of people, views of which, and that we should not be in their company, should not adopt their company. Number one, a person who lies a lot. Allahu Akbar. This is because you will be deceived by him. He is like sand which looks like water that you see in a desert. Those who are far away, he will bring them close to you, and those who are close to you, he will distance them from you. Now that person, if he is lying, and you know he's lying, then one day he's going to lie to you. One day he's going to lie to you. Imam Jafar Sadiq Rahmatullah, the second person that he mentions, a foolish person. This is because you will not gain anything from him. He will want to benefit you, but he will cause damage to you instead. Number three is a stingy person. This is because when you will need him the most, he will end his friendship with you. Number four, a cowardly person. This is because he will leave you and run away from you at the time of difficulty. And number five, a transgressor. This is because he will sell you out for one morsel or even a less price. Someone asked, what is less than a morsel? He replied, having greed and not attaining it. Allahu Akbar. These are the people, views of each other, that we need to stay away from. And so we need to, you know, we said it on Madri Channel, you hear Nigrani Shura said it many times, the Shura that come on Madri Channel have said it many times, Amila Sunnah has said it many times, that scan your businesses. Scan your business, do a shari scan of your business to find out whether your business is halal or not. In the same way, we need to do a shari scan of our friends as well. That is it beneficial for me? And when I say beneficial, I don't just mean beneficial in this dunya, because our friends, our colleagues, we become close to them, we make them our friends, we make them our colleagues because of what we can achieve in this dunya. That this person, oh, he's an influential person, this person is a wealthy person, this person will get me a job, this person will open doors for me, this person, you know, he's a rich person and I can get my children married. And all these sort of things come to our mind where we're trying to benefit ourselves in this dunya. But do we look at our friends and think to ourselves, that person, you know what? If I stay in his company, you know, inshallah, Allah will be pleased with me. If I stay in his company, inshallah, I'll become a namazi. If I stay in his company, I'll act upon the sunnah of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. If I stay in his company, I'll stay away from sins. If I stay in his company, I'll commit good deeds. Do we ever think about that, about our friends? Is that how we scale our friends and look at our friends? And I'm afraid in most cases we don't. We just look about these temporary benefits. And I use the word temporary because this dunya is temporary. This dunya is nothing. It's a temporary, it's a blink of an eye. We look at what we can get in this temporary world. This world that's going to end anytime now. You know, it could end today, tomorrow, the next day. It could any time it could end for us. And we try and look at what benefits us here, rather than what's going to benefit us in that dark and lonely grave. Rather than what's going to benefit us when the bridge of Sirat is put in before us. Rather what's going to benefit us on the day of judgment. You know, these are the things that we need to look at. What is that going to benefit us? And the company that we keep, the friends that we keep, the people that we associate with, ask yourself, do a personal shiri scan on them. You know, because you can't go to Dalifta and say, what do you think about this person? They won't know that. You need to say that, okay, these people, how will I benefit from them? And the question is what do you define as benefit? Is benefit in this world or benefit in the hereafter? Think about these views of the channel. We're going to take a small break now. We're going to go to the cartoon of the day, inshallah, Kanis Fatima. And then when we come back, inshallah, we'll continue with the topic of the day. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Kanis Fatima, anji banji hai. Sanji hai. Sabke kaam ye aati hai. Wow, bhai. Achi baat sikhati hai. Wow. Choti muh se baat badi. ये अक्सर कर जाती है कितनी अच्छी बच्ची है बहुत अच्छी है बात में ये सच्ची है कोई गलत करता है कुछ तो ये उसे समझाती है कनीज फातिमा
अरे वाह ये क्या है
हाँ हाँ हम्म
ये स्टार्स आ कहाँ से रहे हैं?
अल्लाहु अकबर, 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 अल्लाहु अकबर।
आमीन। आपी, ये आप तस्बीह पर क्या पढ़ रही थी?
रायका में हर नमाज के बाद तस्बीह फातिमा पढ़ती हूँ।
तस्बीह फातिमा, ये क्या होती है आपी?
सुभान अल्लाह, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह और अल्लाहु अकबर का वेन तस्बीह फातिमा कहलाता है।
आपी, ये कितनी दफा पढ़ना होता है?
रायका तस्बीह फातिमा में सुभान अल्लाह 33 टाइम्स, अल्हम्दुलिल्लाह भी 33 टाइम्स और अल्लाहु अकबर 34 टाइम्स पढ़ा जाता है। ये वो तस्बीह है जिसे हमारे प्यारे आका सल्लल्लाहु अलैहि वालैहि वसल्लम ने हजरत फातिमा रदियल्लाहु अन्हा को पढ़ने के लिए दी थी और फरमाया था कि ये तुम्हारे लिए खादिम से बेहतर है, यानी कि तुम्हारी सारी थकावट दूर हो जाए और सब काम अब खुद ही कर लिया करोगी।
अगर ये तस्बीह मैं भी पढ़ूंगी तो क्या मुझे भी थकावट नहीं होगी? मैं भी तो स्कूल जाती हूँ, ट्यूशन जाती हूँ, अपना सारा होमवर्क करती हूँ और फिर आपके और मम्मा के सारे काम भी करती हूँ। थकन तो मुझे भी बहुत हो जाती है।
अरे भाई, तो इसे आप भी पढ़े ना, ये तो बहुत अच्छी बात है, आपको भी इससे बहुत फायदा होगा।
सुभानअल्लाह, इसे क्या मैं अभी पढ़ सकती हूँ?
क्यों नहीं रायका, बिल्कुल पढ़ सकती है, लेकिन हर नमाज के बाद इस तस्बीह को पढ़ना ज्यादा अफजल है। ये ले जाए नमाज में बैठकर अदब से पढ़ें और जब पढ़ लें तो ये जाए नमाज वहीं रखिएगा जहाँ इसकी जगह है, ताकि अगर अम्मी को नमाज पढ़नी हो तो वहीं से उठा लें।
ठीक है आप, ये जज़ाकल्लाहु खैरा। Alhamdulillah. Ya Allah, ye kya ho gaya?
जी
आपी,
जल्दी से नीचे आकर दूध पी ले।
आई, रुक जाओ, कहाँ जा रहे हो? आई।
आराम से रायका, गिर जाएंगी। रायका लगी तो नहीं?
नहीं अभी नहीं लगी।
लगी है ना, मैंने आपको कितनी बार समझाया है, आहिस्ता चला करें और सीढ़ियों से हमेशा आराम से ही उतरा करें और उतरते हुए सुभान अल्लाह और सीढ़ियों से ऊपर चढ़ते हुए अल्लाहु अकबर का विर्द किया करें। यहाँ आकर बैठे, मैं आपके लिए दूध में हल्दी मिला कर लाती हूँ, आपको दर्द में आराम मिलेगा।
नहीं, मुझे ऐसे ही दे दे।
अरे रायका, कितनी बुरी बात है, एक तो आपने उल्टे हाथ से ग्लास पकड़ के दूध पिया जो कि सुन्नत के खिलाफ है। हमें हमेशा सीधे हाथ से ही हर चीज खानी चाहिए, सीधे हाथ से ही हर चीज देनी और लेनी चाहिए। दूसरी बात, आपने दूध पीने से पहले ना ही बिस्मिल्लाह शरीफ पढ़ी और ना ही दूध पीने की दुआ पढ़ी। क्या कह रही है? दुआ का पूछ रही है। दूध पीने की दुआ ये है, अल्लाहुम्मा बारिक लना फीही वज़िदना मिन्हु, ए अल्लाह पाक, हमारे लिए इसमें बरकत अता फरमा और हमें मजीद अता फरमा। क्या हो गया इराइका आपको? वैसे तो आप चुप ही नहीं होती, अभी ये क्यों कर रही हैं? कुछ बोल क्यों नहीं रही? आपके मुंह में कुछ है ना? राइका, झूठ नहीं बोलते, पता है ना आपको? झूठ बोलना कितनी बुरी बात है। कौन? एक मिनट आई। आप यहीं रुके, मैं अभी आई।
शुक्र है बच गई। आप ही को पता चल जाता तो मसला हो जाता, बहुत नाराज होती वो तो।
राइका, मैंने आपसे कहा था ना वहीं रुके। बड़ों का कहना ना मानना बहुत बुरी बात है। और ये क्या छुपा रही हैं आप मुंह में?
ये छुपा रही थी।
ये क्या है?
आपकी तस्बीह का दाना।
ये कैसे निकल गया?
सिर्फ यही नहीं बल्कि सारे दाने निकल गए थे।
अल्लाह, राइका ये क्या किया आपने? तस्बीह तोड़ दी।
तोड़ी नहीं है, टूट गई है और सारे दाने बिखर गए थे। ये तो दूध के गिलास में चला गया था, इसीलिए मैं नीचे नहीं बोल रही थी, क्योंकि मैंने मुंह में ये छुपाया हुआ था।
ओहो, तो मतलब आपने दूध पीते हुए वो मोती मुंह में रोक लिया था। राइका, खुदा ना खास्ता ये मोती अगर आपके हलक में फंस जाता या सांस की नाली में अटक जाता तो पता है आपके लिए कितनी मुश्किल हो जाती। राइका, हमेशा याद रखें, बच्चों को इस तरह से ये मोती, तस्बीह के दाने या सिक्के वगैरह कभी भी मुंह में लेकर नहीं खेलना चाहिए। ये अगर हलक में फंस जाए तो जान को भी खतरा हो सकता है, समझी?
जी समझ गई। इंशाअल्लाह अब मैं ऐसा कभी नहीं करूँगी।
जज़ाकल्लाहु खैरो। अल्लाह पाक आपको अपनी बात पूरी करने की तौफीक अता फरमाए। आमीन सुम्मा आमीन।
Viewers of Mother Channel, you're watching Arise and Shine, the early morning program. Today, viewers of Mother Channel, we're talking, the topic that we've got today is always speak the truth. And it's something that I cannot emphasize enough. I remember Nigrani Shura when he came, and he came to Birmingham at the time, and he did a talk on backbiting. And a young child, maybe 11 or 12, after listening to the speech, he was sat next to Nigrani Shura, and he said to him, I've got a question. And he put his hand up. And Nigrani Shura said, yeah, beta, you know, what was the question? He said, after saying all this, why do people backbite? You know, and mashallah, you've met Nigrani Shura. Mashallah, he's, you know, he's a hazard damag, he can answer questions and everything. That's the only time I ever saw him stumped, so to speak. That he thought, oh, what do I say? And his face, and I was stood there and I looked at Nigrani Shura's face, and for a few seconds, he didn't know what to say. And then he answered it. So the same question I'm going to ask you, I'm going to put you, I'm that little child now. With all of this that we've mentioned now, then why do people lie? Why do we lie then? If we know that all of these things is not something new, not something unique, it's something we all know, why? Why do we lie? Viewers of the channel, we're talking, the topic that we've got today is always speak the truth. And it's something that I cannot emphasize enough. I think I'll mention it after. We're going to a little bit of a promo break here now for 1 minute, inshallah. When we come back, we'll sum up the topic. Let's just go to this small break, inshallah. When we come back, we'll sum up this topic. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Zakat, a divine obligation and a means of purification. Dawat Islami is giving us a great opportunity in order to gain great reward through our zakat.
See be upon him and the grace of Mustafa.
If you give your zakat to Dawat Islami, where will it be used? Your donation will be used to support more than 15,000 campuses and support the education of more than 400,000 Madrasatul Madina students and Jamaatul Madina students. Alongside this, you will see your money used to support millions across the globe who are affected financially and in terms of well-being as well. You will also see through the power of social media that Dawat Islami will reach more than 50 million individuals through social media, Madri channel and publications. When you give your money to Dawat Islami, you will see Islamic guidance reaching to many Muslims across the globe through Darul Ifta Ahle Sunnah. So give your money to Dawat Islami and do not miss out on this great opportunity in order to also gain a share of the great reward that entails within this Islamic movement of Dawat-e-Islami.
Dawat-e-Islami UK Madani Channel. Sort code 309773. Account number 436-345-60. IBAN GB67LOYD 309-773-436-345-60. BIC LOYD GB21087.
Your donations can be utilized in any permissible, religious, reformative, welfare, spiritual, benevolent, charitable, and income-generating lawful and secure work so that the increasing expenses can be met.
Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. MashaAllah, viewers of Madani Channel, you're watching Rise and Shine. And like every day, I've only got a few minutes left and there's so much I want to say to you. I'll try and speak to you as quickly as I can now. I've got a few hadiths that I want to mention to you about the benefits of speaking the truth and a few about the problems you may face as a result of lying. The Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, said, speaking the truth is compulsory upon you because this is what with piety and those two are in a lead to paradise. In another hadith, the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam says, no doubt, truth guides towards goodness and goodness leads to paradise. A person continuously speaks the truth until he becomes extremely truthful. With regards to lying, we are told that when a person lies, angels go 1 mile away from that person due to its foul smell. In another hadith, speaking a lie is the biggest deceit. In another hadith of the Prophet of Allah, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, lying is opposite to faith. In another hadith, destruction is upon a person who lies to make people laugh. And there are many, many more like this. But I think what the fundamental thing that we need to have inside ourselves, having that fear of Allah inside us. And if we develop that fear of Allah inside us, that Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. Allah is watching you. The same way as the parable at the beginning with that goat herder, he said, Allah is watching me. Allah will hold me accountable on the day of judgment. We need to develop that inside our hearts. Viewers of Mother Channel, you've been watching Rise and Shine. Until the next time, keep watching Mother Channel. Sallu ala al-Habib, sallallahu ta'ala ala Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
By the grace of Allah, by the grace of Allah, even the darkest night will end, and the sun will rise and shine. And the sun will rise and shine.